A caller says, Greg and Noel were crying out for housing in Letterkenny and in Ireland, but far too many housing estates are being built without any plans for solving the traffic issues. Infrastructure is a huge thing in housing development. A lot of our housing development in this county, I believe, is being hamstrung because of poor infrastructure, not just roads, but in terms of access to water and sewerage and what have you. And it is factored in when applications go in, and it is a problem. So I agree with you. We need to get the infrastructure right. Hi, Greg. How can I vote for the best restaurant, cafe? That comes in from Margaret. This is in our... I'll get to that in a moment. You know what I'll do? I'll open it up here. And I know Margaret's probably not watching, but it's easier for me to explain, I suppose, whilst I'm seeing it. And I'll give you more information on this initiative we are running here at Highland Radio. So I'll go on to highlandradio.com. Now, if you go into the Highland Radio Hospitality Awards 2024... you are invited to nominate now. So you click nominate now. This is on our website, okay? Now, when you scroll down, there is a whole load of sections. Sorry, there's four sections and then a number of subsections. So hotel sector, restaurant, tourism entertainment, bar and pub. So you asked, Margaret, how can I vote for the best restaurant cafe? So you go to restaurant, there is a best cafe section, or there's a best restaurant, and there's a couple of variations there as well. So you click nominate here, you scroll down, you give the name of the business you'd like to nominate, where they're from, the nomination of the category. There's a drop-down menu. You can very easily click best cafe. You put in your name and then a little message to say why you believe they should win. It really is quite simple, and it's on our website, and it's been... I love simple things. But simple, but useful. And that is a perfect example of that. So, Margaret, that is the question answered for you. Right, OK. Some of your comments here. Donegal is a county that rejected Lisbon Treaty and other referenda. They won't forget the way we've been treated and forgotten. We won't forget how we got a different package for our mica. Lack of cement to the rest of the country. We won't forget that our minister has not supported our suckler farmers or made any difference to our beef prices. In other words, we only wanted a fair price for our produce. We need funding to resolve our congestion in Letterkenny long before 2033. Greg, all of the TDs in the Dáil should be cleared out and bring in a new stock. The ones are in don't care about anyone, only their pockets. Well, that's what's happening in Argentina. Did you see the new president elected there? He's getting rid of Minister for Health, Minister for Innovation, Minister for Rights, Minister for the... He says it's a lot of bureaucracy. Let's get rid of it. We'll see what happens. Yo, Greg, why is the video of the refugees walking on the main Clonmany to Drumfries Road not being called out? Or have you seen it? Women and children walking with their belongings at 4 a.m. I have seen it. We talked about it yesterday. In fact, we played the video out for those watching across our social media. What reaction is required here? Are people concerned for their safety? Are they concerned where they're going? I've never had so many calls about people being concerned about people walking on a road. We've made inquiries, but who is responsible? I don't know the answer to that. We're trying to get answers to it. But yes, of course, there's this thing that when people get angry about something and they don't actually hear the moment they mention it, it's mentioned, they presume it's never mentioned. But of course, we've talked about it. But how much can we talk about it, if you know what I mean, in the absence of information as to what was going on and why it was going on? Do you get me? Why government are not giving money to SVP? Because they know that through generosity of ordinary people that SVP get their money. If anyone comes to my door for votes, says this listener, they're getting chased. I won't be voting for anyone as they're not worth the paper they've printed on. Such a shame that we waste so many trees every year for their leaflets. They keep promising housing and nothing is ever done. The country's overrun with immigrants. They are unable to help people. In my opinion, EU has destroyed Ireland. We should get out of the EU and be independent. Take back control, perhaps? We've heard that before, not too far away from us. Not much came of it. Greg, I got a text from gov.ie saying... No, you didn't. Ignore it, delete it. I got a text from gov.ie saying that I was eligible for an electricity discount and gave an internet address to click on it. It's obviously a scam because the discount is applied automatically. Might be a good idea to warn vulnerable people. We do it as much as we can. Don't click any links. Air, the government, on post... DHD, LD, DHD, whatever that other postal company is called, they're not going to send you links for you to click into. Of course, says people don't care about people anymore. And believe you and me, it's worse it's going to get for all these people because the people have lost all faith in politicians. They did this to themselves. People just don't give a damn. what they say anymore because they don't care about the people anymore, and the people know this now. Morning, Greg. My daughter was driving to ATU yesterday morning from Lurgy Brack to the Polestar roundabout, 40 minutes, crazy. When she eventually got to the Polestar roundabout, the guards were there. Why she doesn't know, she said, no accident. I'll tell you what happened. There was a collision there. No one injured, but quite serious damage done to at least one of the cars. The cars were cleared from the roundabout. This was about 7:45, and then there was a period of time waiting for a low loader to come and take the cars away because at least one of them were undrivable. And that seemed to just lock up Letterkenny. Crazy stuff. But anyway, reading on from this listener. It's unfair on people trying to get to college and work. It's a day's work getting there. It's so stressful. It's only going to get worse now with people Christmas shopping. Even the back roads now are extremely busy. Thank you, Greg. Sharon, thank you for texting in. Hiya, Greg. Sounds like a job for the elves. They'll have to get that tree up in no time. You got to order a slot. Strangely, it all seems to be colliding with the toy show, Black Friday and Thanksgiving too. Or are the kids colluding with Smiths? I don't know. That's hashtag kids chaos from Kevin in Dunlow. And on it goes. Thank you so much for all of your comments. Hi, Caroline. You're looking at me as if to say, Greg, why don't you hurry up? I shall hurry up. We're going to remind you of the fantastic quiz running in association with our sponsors this week, the Silver Tassie. I would love it. I wish I could enter. I'd love this. It sounds fantastic. I've embraced this holistic self-care stuff when I can. And what they do at the Silver Tassie sounds absolutely fantastic. Here's an opportunity to sample that.
On this week's show, with thanks to our sponsors, the Silver Tassie Hotel and Seascape Spa, we're giving you the chance to win their Relaxation Heaven package. This luxurious 2.5-hour package includes an aromatic steam session and cocoon room, a hot towel, foot and back cleanse, an indulgent full body massage, a mini escape facial with scalp massage, all followed up with snooze room relaxation time and refreshments. To begin with a chance of winning this fantastic prize on Friday, simply answer the following question. What is the day after Thanksgiving known as in terms of shopping deals? Is it A, Black Friday, or B, Blue Friday? Text or WhatsApp your answer, name and address to 086 60 25000.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
Okay, it's 23 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 21st of November, 2023, and we're in studio now with Garda Sean Swinney for Community Garda information, and Sean, of course, with the Buncrana Garda Station. Sean, thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Really appreciate your time. Should we start with an appeal for some money found? Sean, do you want to go with that first?
Yeah, there was some money found this morning on Main Street in Letterkenny. It's up on the Garda Station at present, and there's some details regarding that on the Garda Facebook page. So if anybody has lost some money, could you please contact the station? We're eager to give it back to you.
Yeah, of course. And someone's, hopefully the right person hears that, and that's, yes, just going to be a dream come true. Some of money found on Letterkenny Main Street.
Yes.
It's in the possession of the Gardaí now, who are looking after it for you. If you believe it's yours, you can contact the station there and they'll double check everything, obviously. Right, okay, let's get on to some further appeals now. Should we start with the theft following a burglary of a motorcycle?
Yeah, this occurred at Lunya and Derrybeg between November the 2nd and November the 16th. It's only been recently reported to us. So entries gained to an unlocked shed at the rear of the house in that area, and a Honda 90 motorcycle was stolen. This motorcycle is red and white in colour, and the registration number is L547OMH. So we appeal to anybody who's any information, the current whereabouts, or any information in relation to the burglary, please contact Gardaí Milford 07491 53060 or the confidential line 1800 666 111.
Now there was a burglary in Greencastle also.
Yeah, this occurred at Adelaide Meadows in Greencastle in the early hours of Saturday the 18th of November. It's believed occurred between approximately 4 a.m. and 4:30. So the back door of the house was left unlocked, and intruder entered, stole a bank card and a controller for a PlayStation. So again, we appealed to anybody who may have dashcam footage who was travelling in the early hours of Saturday morning. Or of any other information, please contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 07493 205 40.
And not to attribute any blame when people are going through a difficult time already, Sean, but both early appeals, two doors that were unlocked, it's just a reminder for us to make sure we don't make it easy for these people.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Right, okay. Now, theft from a bus in Ballybuffet.
Yeah. This is an information in relation to thefts of items from a park bus at Townview Heights. This is between Monday the 13th November at 5 p.m. and Tuesday the 14th November at 7 a.m. The bus unlocked and entered between those times. A green hold-all bag containing a Bluetooth speaker and headphones was stolen from the bus. So appeal to anybody who observed any suspicious activity between those times. Please contact Gardaí Letterkenny, 07491-67100.
All right, do you have a bit more then on about how it's important, Sean, that we, you know, make sure things are all locked up and secured as much as possible, I wonder?
Yeah, look, as you said, the first few appeals are about doors being left unlocked and thieves are taking advantage of this. So we're just stressing the importance of implementing crime prevention measures. So appeal to everybody, please ensure you take all necessary precautions, ensure you're not the victim of crime. So opportunist thieves are out there and they will seize any opportunity, so don't make life easy for them. Please ensure your house is well secured and locked when unoccupied or when you're going to bed. Lock your shed also, implements can be stolen from it and then used to gain entry to your house. So please lock your vehicle up when it's unattended, regardless of whether you're parking in a public place or at home, and don't leave any large amounts of cash in your home or your vehicle.
Yeah, indeed. And there are some really affordable security options. I've mentioned it before in this programme before, you know, that are monitored, the alarm, lights come on and they will not break the bank. And what we tend to do is we have an incident and then we get the bells and whistles alarms then and it's often too late. Okay. Right, so are we on to the road traffic collision now in Glenties, Sean?
Yeah, this happened at Derry's Glenties in the early hours of Tuesday the 14th November at approximately 4:25 a.m. It was a single vehicle involved, was travelling from Glenties to Ardra when the collision occurred. The driver was taken by ambulance to Letterkenny University Hospital, treatment received for serious but not life-threatening injuries. So appeal to anybody who's any relevant relation to Kaya into the collision or may have been travelling that stretch of the road whose dash cam footage, please contact Ballyshannon on 07198-58530.
All right, down to Donegal Town, an appeal there on reports of a road traffic collision.
Yeah, this is believed occurred at the Glebe Donegal Town on Thursday the 9th of November between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Damage was caused to the rear passenger door of a car park between those times. The damage is believed to be caused by another vehicle. So appeal to anybody who was in that area who witnessed the collision or has any relevant information, please contact Ballyshannon on 07198-58530.
Now, the latest scam update, it's to do with eFlow. And again, not to give these people any credit, but it's really clever because people are really afraid of eFlow because they say pay your charge before 8 a.m. the next day or 8 p.m. the next day or whenever it might be. And very quickly after that, the penalties start racking up. And then there's been stories in the national paper of people being faced with 300 or 400 or 500 or 600 euro fines. So when you see eFlow come in on your phone, even if you've not been anywhere, all of a sudden you can get quite edgy. So talk to us a little bit about this most recent of scams.
Yeah, I know we issued a warning last week about scams. There's so many types of scams out there at the minute. But this one relates to eFlow. Fortunately, you said a number of people have fallen victim to eFlow scam text messages. So these smishing attempts typically send an urgent message, urging recipients to click on a link, which can lead to extraction of their personal financial information and then theft of their money. So eFlow advises the following. eFlow does not send any links in text messages. If you receive one, delete it immediately. If you receive the text claiming to be from eFlow or a link, do not click on it and report it to scam@netcraft.com and delete the message. Or if you clicked on a special link, please contact your bank immediately. And as we said, never click on any link that's contained in the text message.
Okay, and it's good advice. Never click on a link contained in a text message, no matter where that text appears to come from. Right, now, whoops, this is a bit more uplifting, isn't it? Christmas lights being switched on. Maybe it's a garden nightmare. I haven't a clue.
No,
but anyway, from my perspective, I'm happy, Sean, and I'm sure you are too.
Absolutely, yeah. It's that time of year and we're all glad to see it. So the Christmas lights are due to be switched on this weekend in Letterkenny and also in the Twin Towns on Sunday, the 26th of November. The light events in Letterkenny will commence at the Market Square Main Street at 6 p.m. on that date, and the event in Ballybuffet will start at 3 p.m. on the Main Street. So these events are always well attended, and it's a great chance for all the family to fun together. So there'll be road closures in Letterkenny between 5:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. on Sunday on the Main Street from Rosemount Lane to Oliver Plunkett Road, and will also be closed off at the Market Square and Castle Street. There will be alternative routes from Church Lane to Cathedral Road, Justice Walsh Road to Pierce Road, and Rosemount Lane to Pierce Road. Oh, this is for light vehicles only. The event in Balbuffet will take place at 3. There will be some minor traffic disruption, but Gardaí will there to assist with diversions. We hope everybody's enjoyable time at both events. We look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, and in the latter there, there's plenty of routes around it and ample parking if you want to go and enjoy it as well.
Exactly.
Brilliant stuff as always. Garda Sean Swinney from the Buncrana Garda Station. Thank you very much for joining
us.
Right, we'll be back with another edition of Community Garda Information next Tuesday after the 10 o'clock news. This one will be available for you to re-listen to back on our podcast or indeed watch on our Facebook page a little later on, or on Garda Síochána Facebook page. But for now, we'll take a quick break and then we will be right back. Rightio. The Minister for State for European Affairs, Peter Burke, has urged Irish exporters to take all steps necessary to prepare for new UK import controls set to be introduced in January. Peter Burke, the Minister of State for European Affairs, is with us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners.
Right, so at this point, there will be presumably a cohort of exporters that are ahead of the game here, or at least up with the game. Is that the case, or are we appealing to everyone who's an exporter to ensure that they've got all their the documentation, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, in order?
Some should be very familiar at this stage, and that's notwithstanding the fact that the UK has delayed this announcement for a period of months. It's been postponed in the past, so it is going to come into effect at the end of January. So what I'm really encouraging is all those who are exporting product to the UK. So anyone should be aware that the UK are setting up new import rules, pre-notification checks on documentation. They're not physical checks, but they're checking documentation that you have to pre-notify before you proceed with your product, that you should review all your supply chains, ensure that they are aware of the new requirements at the end of January to avoid any delays. And also for those who are using the UK as a land bridge, so they're going further afield in terms of the end point for their product, they will also be subject to the rules because they'll be going through the UK territory.
Now, when, we say UK territory here, if someone is moving product from Lifford to Dublin, they will travel through UK territory in inverted commas. Are you saying that will these rules apply to them, or is there an exemption there? Because
no,
they would theoretically be using part of the UK as a land bridge.
So essentially, any trade on the island of Ireland is protected by the Windsor Framework, and that's really to underscore the importance of the all-island economy. So that is protected. But if you're going from Donegal and travelling through Northern Ireland and your end point is outside of Northern Ireland in another part of the UK, let's say Wales or somewhere else, well, then you will be subject to these checks. And that's why we're encouraging people to go on to gov.ie/Brexit. There's a different categorisation, particularly for agri products, into low, medium and high risk. And depending on what category the trader falls into, there are different requirements. So at a more severe point, you could be required for a vet to inspect the produce and give a health certificate with it before it proceed onward. At the very bottom of the pile, in a very low risk category, you could only be required to pre-notify that the product is actually leaving and heading for the UK.
So, like, even if businesses put everything in place that they are supposed to, this sounds like it still has the potential to be more expensive to do your business and potentially slower. Or are you happy that the system is such that if you have your ducks in a row in advance, as per this warning, that you shouldn't see a great deal of disruption? What's your what are you predicting?
Well, I don't think Brexit was ever intended to be easy. It's going to have consequences that will keep delivering right into the future. We will be aware as well that the UK do intend to procure physical checks next October 2024, on product going into the UK. That will be an extra burden for businesses who are exporting to the UK. There is no doubt about that. So I think we have to be honest in terms of Brexit. There is an additional layer of compliance that was heretofore unfettered access right into the UK market. That has now changed. They have left the customs union. That means that there's going to be additional requirements, and this is another layer of pre-notification requirements that is going to be required at the end of January, and businesses who are really exporting into the UK or using it as land bridge really need to be prepared for it.
And this is going to affect a lot of people, a lot of goods, because, you know, Britain remains one of our key trading partners.
Absolutely, and that's why we're very keen to ensure businesses are equipped with all the armoury to ensure they comply with the pre-notification procedures. And it isn't very difficult at the moment in terms of what is required in pre-notifying your ferry company or terminal that the product you're bringing. But we just need to ensure that if you turn up and that work isn't done, well, then you could be in trouble in terms of the ferry company could be required to refuse entry of the goods because of the rules in the UK. So it's a matter of just complying with the paperwork at this point in time. And the Department of Agriculture has hired additional veterinary inspectors for those who may be required. So if it's live product or something that's in a very high category in terms of risk that's assessed by the UK authorities, we need to have the infrastructure that can process those checks quickly. And we're happy we have those supports in place.
Where do people get more information then? So I know there are a range of sports. gov.ie/Brexit. Is that the...
Absolutely. So really encouraging all traders who are not familiar and are exporting into the UK that they log on to gov.ie/Brexit. All the different categories are there and a step through the various different requirements that will be in place come the end of January. But also it's important that exporters talk to their supply chain. They will know the processes whereby their goods go through before they end up in the UK. So it's important to talk to your supply chains and see what they are aware of in terms of the new import rules and to comply with them.
All right, listen, thank you very much for that. I do appreciate
thank you,
it. Peter Burke, Minister of State for European Affairs, and the irony of the fact that we're talking about all of this to do with Brexit, and Nigel Farage is getting paid $1.5 million to go to Australia and eat crocodile anuses. It's amazing how and businesses here having to deal with all this kind of stuff. But anyway, it is what it is, and businesses are going to have to get on with it, I'm sure. Right, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts. Mary O'Donnell's in Dewish and is 88 today. Happy birthday, Mary. This is coming in from your two daughters, five sons, five daughters-in-law and 34 grandchildren, home and abroad. And Son O'Donnell in Letterkenny turned 60 today. Happy birthday to you from all the boys. Great to have you on board. Right, OK. So many of you out there use clothes banks. They're very popular. They're pretty much at every recycling facility. But what actually happens to your used textiles? Well, Caroline O'Doherty is the environment correspondent with the Irish Independent and has been looking into this and joins us now. Caroline, thank you for your time today.
Good morning.
Right, OK, so I think we feel often, you know, maybe throwing a few bottles, plastics, whatever it might be, and some clothes into these big yokes. We feel we're doing the right thing. And we are doing the right thing. But what happens after we deposit these clothes ordinarily into these clothing banks?
Well, not always what we expect to happen. Now, first of all, those who get as far as a clothes bank, well done, because ideally we would have a way of sorting through all our stuff at home and putting it into some sort of receptacle, you know, in on our driveway or wherever, and we don't. So if you have an item of clothing and you think, well, that, there's more life in that yet, be it for reuse so somebody can rewear it or because there's good fabric in that, because we're talking mainly about clothes, but also maybe that once every few years when you do a cull of your like sheets and duvet covers and maybe curtains or cushion covers, that's all textiles. And there's all a lot of good quality fabrics in those. But we've nothing to do with that. There's no place to put that. It doesn't go into your green bin. So most of the stuff that we're getting rid of, most of the clothes and textiles are actually going into the general waste bin, the black bin. So that just disappears off into for incineration generally. Some goes to landfill or go to incineration or it'll go to another form of incineration, which is used by the cement firms. They use it as a kind of a, it gets shredded and it's used as a kind of a fuel for their big kilns. So that's about 2/3 of it. The rest, most people are bringing it to bring banks. Now, that may be a local recycling centre, a civic community centre. It may be the big plastic or big metal bins, receptacles that you see sort of at supermarkets or in other public places where, again, yes, you may have your bottle bank and you may have your cans bank and then you'll have the clothes bank. And most people would think, well, OK, in my bag of stuff, there is some really good clothes there and they'll be reworn or given to the charity shop, because often these banks are done in conjunction with a charity. And you're thinking, and the rest, well, presumably that'll go to be used. The fabrics in them will be going reused to be recycled in some other way. The fabric in the threads in them or, you know, if worst case scenario, because they're really unwearable, like really old pieces, the really old pair of pyjamas that you don't use anymore, or the jeans with absolutely no holes in them and not in a fashionable way. You're hoping that the fabrics will be used, you know, either for rags or, again, for kind of maybe shredding and stuffing for furnishings or something like that. The problem is, a tiny amount of that, one third of all of the textiles we throw out, about a third of that, I beg your pardon, less than that, a very small amount of that we know is actually of re-wearable or resaleable quality. So the charity shops do get that. Mm-hmm. And they also, obviously, they get the clothes that we leave into them directly. The rest of it, there's really no transparency over it. What happens is we know some of it will go as rags. There are some local social enterprises that will cut them up and use them for rags for garages and mechanics places or places where there's dirty work going on, that kind of thing. The rest of it is exported, and it's exported as reusable stroke recyclable materials. The difficulty is there, it then goes to these giant sort of bulk buying warehouses, in often in the UK or in Germany, where they're getting in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tons of this stuff.
And is this the same stuff that ends up dumped in Ghana and other places?
Exactly.
Because I've seen the footage of these endless amounts of used clothes that we probably think we're doing the right thing with. And there are other places. But I think it's been described as a death pit in Ghana. So if our stuff's going to UK and Germany, that's where this Ghanaian's problem originates from. So we're contributing to that, are we?
We are. You know, those big depots in the UK or Germany or wherever will take out, again, they'll siphon off the better quality fabrics. And again, it's for recycling. And then the rest, sort of what we wouldn't dream of wearing ourselves, re-wearing, what we feel is too much hassle to try and recycle because the fabrics are for a lower quality, that then goes to often to East Asian countries or to African countries. And they buy it in bulk quite cheaply. And then because there will be, again, there will be clothes that we won't put on our backs here, they will do. So they'll go into the markets and stuff there. But there, again, that's a very tiny proportion of the overall book. So then they're left with the absolute dregs, unrecyclable, you know, highly synthetic clothing, clothing that's in rags and stuff. And they do not have recycling facilities or, you know, proper incinerators to use them. So they do end up sort of informally dumped in huge, you know, giant landfills on the edges of major cities, on the sides of roads. And you have seen some horrendous photographs of these literally just burning day and night alongside where people live. So there's a number of problems here we've got. And this is all research done by Voice Ireland, Voice of Concern for the Irish Environment, who've done an awful lot of work on waste, be it plastic waste or paper waste or packaging waste, and this is textile waste. They want, that as a householder, when I'm doing my spring clean, I have somewhere that, you know, every fortnight or so on, I can actually put my textiles into a container. Those that are possibly for re-wearing and resale in a charity shop, and those that will have to have some other use. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not putting it straight into the waste bin, the black waste bin for burning or dumping in landfill. Secondly, they want some sort of a recycling facility nationally in Ireland where all the stuff can be properly sorted and proper decisions made. What kind of fabrics can be reused? What can then, that somebody hasn't brought directly to a charity shop, what's still salvageable for a charity shop that could be reworn or resold again? And thirdly, whatever is left over, that we don't send it abroad, that we actually classify it as waste unless we can prove that it's going to go to a proper useful end. Because once something is sorted as categorised officially and under regulations as waste, we have to find a proper solution for it. We can't dump it on developing countries.
But we have we not really been exporting our problems for God knows how long, you know, boats heading to China with our recyclables, and I'm not sure if that's, I don't believe that happens any longer, and I don't know what we do with it now. Maybe you can inform us of that, Caroline. But, you know, like, we think we are doing the right thing as consumers. We put stuff in the blue bin. We put stuff in the black bin. We put stuff in these reciprocals, these clothes banks, and we feel the good, right thing is happening. We get reports all the time of blue bins and black bins going into the same bin. Now, if it's, I don't know if it's into the same lorry, I don't know if it's sorted after the fact, but like, what are we doing here? And then we learn from you today and from other reports that, you know, we think we're doing the right thing with our clothes, but we're not. We're actually creating a problem elsewhere. And we have this sort of veil of ignorance protecting us, if you know what I mean. Like, we really need to get our act together and be really more responsible, I think, right across the board in terms of, you know, waste disposal.
We do. And, you know, Voice Ireland here have an online campaign. You'll see it, see it under the Threads of Transparency kind of tagline. And, you know, they did a vox pop. They went down the street and asked ordinary people, you know, what do you think is going on with your used clothes and stuff? And you will, I guarantee you, recognise the answers that these people given in the answers that are in your own head. And you can see them kind of going, it does go to charity, doesn't it? You know, you know, we do think we're doing the right thing and we're encouraged to do this. We do need far more transparency over where it all goes, because then that makes people think. Because, you know, I suppose at the root of all this is we buy too many clothes. We buy too many poorly made clothes full of synthetic fibres that makes it really hard to then recycle. Mm-hmm. So there is that issue of fast fashion and consumption and all of that, you know, and there's a huge mindset change has to come about there.
Yes.
But in the meantime, and Voice Ireland recognises, they say, well, in the meantime, we have a waste problem right now. So while we're maybe, you know, working away and explaining to people why we need to change our attitudes towards what we buy, whatever, we just need to stop dumping this on other countries for a start. And that would have a knock-on effect of pushing it back on responsibility to the authorities here to say, OK, so we can't get rid of it. Now we have to deal with it. Are we going to go and knock on people's doors and say, we're going to put an incinerator beside your house specifically to burn textiles? And people say, no, we don't want that. OK, what do you want? And it puts that question back about what do we want to do. But, it, you know, I don't want to batter people over the head about this, because we don't have that options. As I say, if you're doing spring clean and maybe your local school is doing a recycling, you will take out the best bits, you know, and the clothes that you say, well, somebody could rewear and get use out of that. You don't know what to do with all the rest. You don't know what to do with the underwear, the old vests and the old pyjamas, you know, the sheets that are kind of grubby now, you know, what you don't know what to do with those. You wouldn't give them to somebody else to use. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, you don't have an option. You either dump it in your black bin and stuff it goes to for incineration, or, as I say, you bring it to one of these textile banks, which are, you know, don't limit it to clothes. So you're under the impression that something good is going to be done with those textiles. And, as I say, once it's out of your hand, it just sort of disappears. You know, it becomes this sort of thing where off it goes to maybe one country, onto another country, and eventually onto the countries that are least able to deal with it, which is the developing countries.
It's an eye-opener, Caroline. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. And people can read the article in full in the Irish Independent. Thank you very much indeed. Caroline O'Doherty, environment correspondent with the Irish Independent. We were talking yesterday about parking in bays, parking in disabled bays, they're commonly known, aren't they? And then we were talking too about people parking in the parent and child parking spaces. This caller says, I park all the time in the parent and toddler space now, as I parked in the normal space. One day, some lovely person dented my car, which cost me €80 to fix. Now, no one ever sees anything. Camera can't be seen unless you contact a guard. So they park in those spaces for security. Tell that woman you had on yesterday that many a man sits in the car while his family's in shopping. Delighted to hear a judge do this. This is a judge that banned at least two motorists from driving because they were fined for parking in a disabled parking bay, but they didn't turn up in court to answer the charges, never paid the fine. They were banned from driving. Delighted to hear the judge do this. There is two parking spaces in our small town and no one obeys them. I'd like to see more action taken on this offence. Another, I'm 77 and I find it very difficult to get out. I would park in a children's space, but not a disabled space. They never think of the older people who aren't actually disabled. I find it hard to get out as an older person. I need space to get my two legs out. Well, I would have no issue with you using those spaces, but it's not up to me to decide that. What about putting some of the unemployed people collecting benefit for nothing and looking for work on these roads to do traffic management? That often comes up, but often there's lots of reasons why people can't work. We're at full employment here. But anyway, that's what one caller thinks, and who am I to disagree?